We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us as you promised when we're gathered together in your name to worship you and to meditate upon your word and grow in grace and knowledge. I pray that by your Holy Spirit you open our hearts and reveal the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. We'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us via the speaker phones, which virtually is almost our whole congregation again this evening, and also those of you who will be receiving the sermons on the CDs for your own Bible study and private worship. We service coming from our home again this evening in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we're having kind of a little cooler temperatures than normal. We've had a lot of rain lately, mixed with some snow and sleet here and there. And we're looking forward to a change in this. It's a little early for this kind of weather, even in Wisconsin. But we look forward for better things. I think there's about 7 weeks of Indian summer coming, which is probably my favorite time of the year. So, and we wish all of you could be here to enjoy this with us. But we're thankful at least that we can share with you what the Holy Spirit has given us. And we invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to be taking a few thoughts from verses 14 to 19. We'll read those a little later on during the sermon. One of the, perhaps the key to understanding Scripture, and especially the Old Testament right now, is to see Jesus Christ in it. Son of God said concerning the Scriptures that they are they which testify of me. And if you don't see Christ in it, you miss the whole thing. There is a second thing that's just about as important, though, and that is not only to see the Son of God in Scripture, but also his bride. And when we study the Old Testament, in a lot of ways, we're studying our own life history. Now this evening, the Holy Spirit brings to the spotlight once again one of the most remarkable people in all Scripture, Rahab the harlot. This woman who grew up in a heathen land where there were no churches, no synagogues, no prophets, somehow or other, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, was reborn. And this woman is one of God's elect. She had just risked her life to save the two Hebrew spies from the men whom the king of Jericho had sent to capture them. Now these messengers had departed, and that danger had passed. But Rahab wasn't out of the fire yet, and she knew it. She was living in a country that was going to be overcome by an enemy, and in a city that was about to be destroyed. And so, citing the kindness that she had just shown to the two Hebrew spies, she pleads with them to give her a true token that when they destroyed the city, they would save her and her family alive. That was not a bad request. There's so much at stake here for Rahab that we can certainly understand her wanting some sort of a token, and not just any token, a true token, that would assure her that when the city was destroyed, her and her family would be saved. Rahab is a representative person, because in a certain way we find ourselves in the very same situation in which she found herself. We are living in a city, a country, a world that is going to be destroyed. Listen to the words of the Holy Spirit through the pen of the fisherman.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is a global catastrophe, the likes of which this world has never, ever seen. The closest it's come was the great flood in the days of Noah. That destruction was by water. This is going to be by fire. The fisherman applies it. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, in the last chapter, before he died, by the way, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they also do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want a token too. I want a true token, just like Rahab wanted one. We all want one. We need one. There is so much at stake here. We've got to be sure. We want a token. And the Lord God does give tokens. Flashback to Genesis 9. Godly Noah and his family had just spent the last year floating around on the water in an ark. They had just lived through the most devastating destruction the world has yet seen. The whole human population of the world had perished in this flood, except for the 8 people that were in that ark. This must have been a terrifying experience. When Noah left the ark, he walked out into a new world. How different it must have been from the world he'd been used to. For him, it was true. This was the end of life as he knew it. And beside all the changes, there was the constant fear that the waters might again come pouring down from the heavens, and the fountains of the great deep might once again be broken up. Once you've lived through something like this, it's on your mind. Now, people who have lived through a tornado seem to be afraid every time a strong wind comes. We can understand that. So in grace and mercy and love, the Lord God gave Noah a token. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." The rainbow, which some people believe is the most beautiful thing in all creation, a token given by the Lord God to his people. What comfort this must have been to Noah. And really, every generation after him, if you really believe what is recorded in the opening chapters of Genesis. And now Rahab the harlot asks for a token. And through the two spies, the Lord gives Rahab a true token, a scarlet thread. What a comfort this must have been to her, and what a comfort it is to you and to me. The verses are read as follows. And the men answered her. This is right after she asked for a true token. The men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter this, not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the door of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." The scarlet thread. And this was all Rahab needed. Now, there are those who claim that there's no importance whatsoever to the scarlet thread. That it could have been anything else. It could have been anything in her house. It could have been a piece of wood. It could have been a pot, a pot vessel. And it didn't make any difference what color the thread was. It could have been pink with purple polka dots. It just really doesn't make any difference. And you know, there are some pretty conservative theologians that really believe this. And it is so sad. It is just so sad. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. I mean, these are people who profess to believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and yet they take something like this scarlet thread and just negate it to nothing. Now, the Holy Spirit had a reason for recording that the true token was a scarlet thread. And I don't believe this just happened. If we really believe what we know, and that is that the Lord God controls every single thing, then this scarlet thread didn't just happen by chance. It's of tremendous, tremendous importance. And how much a person loses by not realizing this. What you have to do is look in the scripture with your concordance and see how the Holy Spirit uses the word scarlet. You start right there. The scarlet thread, it was a scarlet thread. It wasn't a pink one. It wasn't a brown one. It wasn't a blue one. It was a scarlet thread. And in scripture, scarlet is the color of sin and the color of blood. We're going to look at a few passages in a few minutes. But you know, one of the keys to learning more in Scripture, one of the starting places is to make use of what you already have and what the Holy Spirit has already given you. That's where you start. And when we think of the scarlet thread hanging in the window of Rahab's house, which was built on the wall, and you and she didn't know that at the time, neither did the spies, but you and I know it from having read ahead, the wall is going to come down. The wall of the city is going to fall flat, and she's living on it. So there's going to have to be a miracle here to take place in that little section of the wall that she is living in. And the scarlet thread hanging in the window of her house on the wall. How can you help but think of the Passover, the great Exodus chapter 12? It jumps out at you as plain as day if the Holy Spirit's instructing us. A few of the details. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be to you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. There was something very important about this Passover. It changed the whole calendar of the year. Now, this was going to be the first month. The first month. Now, that Passover blood, you and I know very clearly, pointed to the Lamb of God shedding his blood for the sins of the world. And it is not by accident, and it's never ever happened before, that the coming of one man into this world has changed the whole calendar. Before Jesus Christ was born, we date it B.C., before Christ. And the years after his birth, A.D., after the year of our Lord. And even heathen people who don't believe in Jesus Christ at all, when they write a letter, they date it 2006. And it's A.D., that's what it is. Ye shall speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month you shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep, from the goats. Notice the progression. A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. And that's the same progression for every single child of God as you look at Jesus Christ. He is a man. He is the man. He is yours. My beloved is mine, and I am his, the bride says in the beautiful Song of Solomon. The lamb was chosen on the 10th day. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. It was chosen 4 days before it was sacrificed. And if one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, don't we have something here? That the lamb was chosen to be slain from before the foundation of the world. And 4,000 years into earth history, when the fullness of time was come, the Son of God became man. And his blood was shed. It's all foreshadowed here in the Passover. And they shall take the blood of the lamb and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. And there's a bunch of details here that we don't have time to go into right now. But it was put on the door, the lintel and the doorposts of the house. And in verse 13 of Exodus 12, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So the Passover blood was a token. when the angel of death saw the blood upon the doorpost of the house, he passed over, and death did not strike there because it already had. The blood had been shed. Now that blood pointed toward the Lamb of God who shed his blood for the sins of the world. And the New Testament counterpart, although on a much, much, much higher level, so the counterpart to the Passover is the Lord's Supper. Now Rahab wanted a true token. The token she got was a scarlet thread. And she seemed very content with it. It was all she needed. And I don't know if she was aware of the Passover and what had taken place or not. I believe she was. She certainly knew what happened down in Egypt to the Egyptian army. She knew that. I believe she also knew about the Passover. And I believe that when she saw that scarlet thread, it rang a bell. Just like it does with you and me. It's a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the same symbol that you and I have. The true token that takes away all fear of the coming judgment. We read the third chapter of 2 Peter about this terrible, terrible destruction that's coming. But we don't have to be afraid because we're covered with the blood of the Lamb and death will pass over. Now there's much here. But I want to end this sermon by opening a book that I call The Volume of Nature. And taking one page of that book, a page which we will entitle The Scarlet Worm. Going back to Psalm 22, which is one of the most amazing chapters in all Holy Scripture. Written some 1,000 years before the actual event, this amazing Psalm of David details some of the actual events that took place on Golgotha. The psalm opens with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The same words that the Son of God uttered on the cross. An obvious reference to take us back to Psalm 22. Other verses give us some of the actual events which took place. They pierced my hands and my feet. Obvious reference to the way the Son of God would die by being nailed to the tree. A foreshadowing of when the Roman soldiers would drive the nails through his hands and feet. And then verse 18 of the psalm, they part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Again, a virtual snapshot of the crucifixion. But the oddest verse, perhaps, is verse 6. But I am a worm and no man. What did our Lord mean by these words? Perhaps the prophet Isaiah gives us a hint. Isaiah 53, verse 2, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Or backing up a bit to the previous chapter of Isaiah 52, verse 14, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. But there is more here. Much, much more. And the Holy Spirit teaches us as we open the volume of nature and compare it with the volume of Scripture, both given to us through the Spirit. There are five different Hebrew words in the Old Testament which are translated worm in the King James Version. The worm that Jesus compares himself to here is a specific kind of a worm. It is called the scarlet worm. The Hebrew word for worm here is tolaath, which is translated scarlet some 27 times in the Old Testament. The reason this worm is called the scarlet worm is because this worm was the source of a fluid from which the ancient people made their scarlet dyes. With this in mind, let's do a little mini word study. Going to the New Testament first, Matthew 27, verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. The Roman soldiers did that. And little did they realize the significance of what they were doing. This becomes extremely meaningful when we look at the words of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a significant picture is this. Christ stripped of his own righteousness and putting our sins upon himself. The picture goes further. There is a deeper significance the Lord has in mind when he compares himself to the scarlet worm. And this significance, scientists tell us, lies in the remarkable life-death cycle of this unique animal. When the mother worm of the species is ready to give birth to her young, she will implant her body on a tree or some stick of wood so firmly that she can never leave it again. We could almost say she nails herself to a tree. She will never leave there alive. She will die there. When she gives birth to her young, her body provides protection and sustenance for them until they reach the stage where they can leave home and strike out on their own. Then the mother dies. And as she dies, the scarlet fluid in her body emerges to stain her own body and the bodies of her little ones, and the wood of the tree where they were given life by their dying mother. What a beautiful picture this is of the blood-stained cross. And an illustration of the truth recorded in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. What a blessed thing it is to be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we come to the end of yet another page in the beautiful volume of nature, where the Almighty Creator God instructs us from nature and teaches us valuable truths from his creation when we compare it with his holy word. But I am a worm, the scarlet worm, the scarlet thread. We'll pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the token which you gave to Rahab and which you have given to each one of your elect. The token of the scarlet thread, that we may live in peace in this world which is about to be destroyed, knowing that when the destruction comes, the angels of death will pass over, and that we will be saved because we're covered with your blood and have the true token of the scarlet thread.